He's talking to you. You're talking to me? Yes, he's talking to us. Let us, in general, all of us, not one specific. So when we read the word and you start and it starts exposing and you know that it's exposing the one next to you, no, he's talking to you. That's the problem. We can see everyone else, but God's looking at us individually. So when you look in the mirror, do you see your neighbor?
No.
Come on. Who do you see? The one that he's talking to. You see, and I hope you see yourself, but the Bible's always going to be right. Always. So you see yourself in the mirror, right? What's the lie? What do you not remember that you have to go again and look? The Bible describes that you go back because you already forgot. Hello, how many times do you look in the mirror? I watch people all the time. Hello. You watch it for everybody. If there's a mirror, they look at themselves as they walk by. You forgot what you look like? You look the same as you did 5 seconds ago. Come on. Why do you think gyms do that? Why do the gyms, all these places that you can go work out, have mirrors everywhere? What are they trying to promote? An image. Come on. An image of who you're not that you should become. Come on. But the truth is, they put them up because it's an instrument used to psych you out. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, man, you look good? Hello, I've done this. Man, I look good in this suit. And I thank the Lord for making me look good, because it's not what's on the outside that makes it look good. It's what's on the inside that makes it look good. Come on. Oh. Let us, therefore, fear. Look at, let us fear. Biblically, we've been taught, fear not. Biblically, we have been taught, he didn't give us the spirit of fear. And that's correct. But he's talking about a different reverence here. He's talking about another idea here. And Paul or Luke, the writer, says it. Therefore, fear lest. Be careful. A promise. I'll say a promise. How many know how many promises are in the Bible from Almighty God? Somebody tried to count them. And so they're now, and it keeps being added. The last count that we know of is 3,724 promises. That means somebody's taking their time to be writing. And some of the promises you don't realize are all the great things, because there's things that are the opposite of the goodness of God. The opposite is what he's going to do because we don't do. See, that's a promise. Oh, you don't want to hear that part. He's just like, he's going to meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. Come on, say amen. So some of us, I look in the church, well, I go, that's the best God can do. Something's wrong with us, not God. Come on, because that's not the bad. God didn't call us to beg. God called us to be the head, not the tail. That's a promise. You're supposed to be the head. You're supposed to rise up. You're supposed to be the one people see. Hello? You heard the word from our sister here that we haven't seen, she says, since January. Right? You heard all the words that were spoken to her? She got 8 months out of word from us, for us. Amen? I'm looking, I said, okay, God, what are you saying? What did we not say here that she has to say it? Amen. I love Sister Veronica. She's been with us a long, long time. Should have been longer, though. I mean, she first was told to visit us in Corona. She kind of fought God. And, well, God won. Say amen. Let us therefore, again, to Scripture, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us, say us, this is for us. Who's this? You, the church. You, the believer. This is not for the non-believer. Come on, help me here, somebody. Stay with me, too. That promise being left us entering into his rest. Did you catch that? Whose rest? Not your pillow. Not your bed. A rest that has been provided for us. Come on. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Be careful. It's a warning. He's talking to us because I'm concerned, because I know where I came from. And I know being on our 46th year to enter, we had to change. And we're constantly being changed. How many understand that? I don't get stuck on silliness. I can't use the word stupid because I get judged wrong. So silliness, right? What does that mean? That means I've learned it all. That means I've got this. That means nothing needs to be said anymore, which is a lie. We constantly need to be told. Just like a child needs to be always told. Come on, because you tell them once, and then they test you. And then you tell them again, and then they test you. And then you tell them again, and then they test you. And then you tell them again, and then finally you're fed up. Thank God he doesn't get fed up on telling us. Come on, he's telling us one more time. Right? Of the promise I've come to give you, my promise of rest. And I know that we need it right now more in the church world than ever. We need it because we've come to interpretations that are not correct. And so he goes on in verse number 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Say us and them. Difference is, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This word, to receive it, I pray that you've come this far because of it. It takes faith. What does that mean? I don't see it, but I believe it. I don't understand it, but it's coming. All I know is God said it. I'm doing it. That's all I know because it's a promise. And I believe it compared to those. Not everybody believes everything. Churches are full, but they're not all believing. They're not all believers. They're in grace, absolutely, but they're not born again. They're not into where God's called them to be. They're in the same journey, same lifestyle, same walk, same belief. Nothing's changed, but they're in church. Well, that's grace. Grace allows that to happen. This whole world is under grace. Come on. They're getting away with murder out there. They're beheading our brothers and our sisters in Nigeria again. They struck again. And our country's fighting for them. Hello? But we can't rule countries unless we do a takeover. And I'm telling God, take over, because they just slaughtered 50 more Christian brothers. 11 of them were children. They beheaded them. A call's been sent out in this. A call's been sent out by Islam. Say Islam. They're not our friends. We pray for them, but they're not our friends. They've just sent a message out to burn all churches around the world that are not subject themselves to their belief. You know, we're such a naive point of life that we think that nothing can happen to us. You're wrong. But even at that, I'm still in my rest because I have a faith. Say faith. I have a belief that touch not the anointed of God. Don't touch the anointed of God. You're the anointed of God. Come on. If they come to these grounds and try to do that, they don't know who's out there watching for us. Come on. Biblically, the servant had to be told by the man of God, open his eyes. I don't care of the armies that are against us right there. Open his eyes. And he did. And he saw what was behind them. The ones that God has called to protect us. Come on. And unto us the gospel was preached as well. That's verse 2 again. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter, that have believed do enter, that have believed. Do you really believe? Are you really resting? And understand what that word means. I'm not saying you're getting the right amount of sleep. I'm not talking about your lifestyles. I'm talking about a set journey that God has placed us on. That we believe eventually to rest as he said. As he said. He said, I give my peace to you in the Gospel of John. But not the peace that the world gives you. And I'm sorry, this is not the peace sign. Come on. Hello, that's two fingers. I take one down, you're not going to like it. Come on. Amen. And some of you use it often because you drive those pretty nice freeways that are frustrating. Hello. Because nobody knows how to drive but us. Right? We're the only ones that know how to drive. People hate me because I obey the law. Hello. I can be at 65 if I want on the fast lane. Or if I have two people, I can be on that other lane. They're honking you. Why? Because they think it's a speed zone that doesn't have no no limits. But it's not true. Come on. And I thank God for this. Again, number three, and we're going to continue. We're going to read through now here. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, say the foundation of the world, from the beginning of time, it's saying. Verse 4, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest. Say, God did rest. God is resting right now. Do you understand that? He's resting because there's an intercessor interceding right now for this world. His name is Jesus. Making intercession for who? For who? Us. Who's us? That believe. The believer. Come on, say amen. I didn't go say Christian, because Christian means Christ-like, and not all believers are Christ-like. Come on. So I'm going to keep it in believer. Hello? And in verse number 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, there it is, if you shall enter, say, I have a choice. Joshua was asked, choose this day who you will serve. That's a daily verse that you should have on your wall today. Do I choose to serve my God? That means I choose to be in my rest without you realizing it. Without realizing, today I have my cross. Today I choose my rest, because it comes from only one place, and that is the cross. Say the cross. Come on. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in it because of unbelief. Do you understand not everybody's going to receive it? Do you understand not everybody's going to, at the end of their journey, walk into what God's grace has called that we can walk and receive? This is why he said, and he says to us, work out your own salvation. You can't work, I can't work yours, you can't work mine. Say amen. All I can say to you today is, this is what he says. Thus saith the Lord here. Come on. And verse, again, number 6. Seeing therefore, remember that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, the apostles, they suffered. Come on. They were beheaded. They were used as entertainment. They were hung. They were beaten. I'm talking believers as with the apostles. They were thrown into the lions for entertainment. What's your worst that you've ever fought so far in this world of your life? Say my life. Especially with us of age. What's the worst? I look at it, I said, man, I thank God I didn't get thrown, because I don't think I would have held on. Hello? To be honest with you, I know I've done a great job, but there's some times where God had to intervene and stop my thinking, stop my way, because we got a nature that wants to resurrect. How many know what I'm saying? We got a nature that wants to take care of business in a different manner. And that manner wants to resurrect when it should not have no right to resurrect unless I give it its rights. Because everything's in my hand. God put it in our hand. Hello? Nothing can be done without your permission. Say, my permission. Your life has already been destined. Come on, somebody. And the only reason you go through what you go through is because it's a new test, because you overcame the other test, and the enemy saw that he can't take you no more. He can't get you there. So he moves on. And be ready. And understand why that when Monday morning comes, thank God you made it through Sunday night. Amen. But he's already made a way for us. Come on. But so a new tactic comes around. Because the enemy sits outside crouching like a roaring lion. He's crouching because he wants to get and take away from you what he can't have. And that's your salvation. That's your heaven bound. He knows you're heaven bound. Hello. Eternal life. His eternal life is judgment, so he's out to take yours away. So this is why you do face what you face. But without knowing that who we are, without understanding that I have this in my life, I didn't make it this far on my own. I give all glory to God. I give all credit to God. I know nothing except Jesus crucified and resurrected now. I let everything else I've ever learned in life go. I said, God, all I know is you died for me, and that's all I need. And you're not in the grave. Everybody else is in the grave, but you are not. Come on, say amen, somebody. Where's Muhammad? He's in the grave. Come on. Where's Buddha? He's in the grave. They had to dig him an extra big one, but he's in the grave. Come on, because you can't rub his belly if he's dead. You're rubbing a dead man's belly. Come on, if you're not saved, rub your own belly because you're dead. Hello, somebody. Come on. The rest go on. Where's Joseph Smith? Anybody know who Joseph Smith is? He's the head of he's secondary to the head of the Mormon Church. No, never mind. Number seven, again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today is if, and now we're talking right now, we're talking 2026, it's not David, it's you, the church. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't shut me out. Don't do that. Don't shut out God, what he's trying to tell you. Don't get stubborn. As sister said, don't let your pride get in the way. Pride brings destruction. Hello. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we come from. What matters is, do we have an ear this morning to hear what the Almighty Living God is trying to give to us as instruction to our rest, say our rest. Because how many I have gotten phone calls at 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And the first thought of mine, what is the first thought of mine? It's never good. And what I hate, it's the wrong number. Come on. Yes. First you wake, oh God, who is this? And you look, oh, thank you, Jesus. But if they need somebody, they need you, God. They don't need me. Hello. Those phone calls were always dreadful. Until I learn how to get rest. Come on, because who's doing that out there to those that we love? Who's doing that and allowed to be it done that it'll disturb your rest? Come on. I hate cell phones. How many know what I mean? I hate them. They're just trackers, tracking wherever I'm at, doing whatever I'm doing. Come on. But it's also a time where it's taking your rest. You leave the house, and then 5 minutes later, where are you? 10 minutes later, how come you're not back? 15 minutes later, are you okay? Yeah, everything's well. Come on. Have you ever gone to the store that it's packed on Fridays? On Sunday nights, it's packed. Come on. Everybody's getting ready for Monday morning. If you will hear his voice at the bottom of verse number 7, don't harden your heart. Listen. For number 8, it goes, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken another day? And now closing out this book. Therefore, remain there a rest to the people of God. Here's where we start. When does your rest start? Everybody's looking at the Sabbath. Everybody understands of the Sabbath. Sabbath is the seventh day on our world. Seventh day that he rested. Say he rested. He's still resting. Come on, say amen, somebody. And I don't know if you understand, the one that called you is our rest. I don't know if you've gone to the place, because today, look, what I want to overcome is all of us that are struggling, all of us that are fighting, everything that we are challenged with life, everything that we have gone to the place, because many of us have heard it like this, because generations and generations and generations, and you may have spoken it, because I've spoken it, but I've had to change now, because I don't shut my cup up. I want it to overflow. Come on. I want all that God has for me. Hello. On a daily basis. I don't care how old I get. Age doesn't matter with God. Say amen to that one. What matters is that I don't shut God out. He's everywhere with me. I want more. I'm not satisfied, God. I'm content, but not satisfied. I know there's more in you. I read about you. I've studied you. They've done such great things that we don't see it in our day. Come on. God is able to take you from right here and he has you in another place. Without taking a taxi, without using Uber, without getting in your car. Come on. He can have you in another state without taking an airplane. Just like that. We have not seen that here. I said, what's wrong with us, God? Why isn't it happening? Because I want to see it. Because I know there's a rest, you know, because we don't understand. But what we do understand, we're going to go to the book of Matthew real quick. And we're going to go to the 11th chapter. Because what I'm trying to get to you is to understand. Because what have we been told for generations? And some of us have said it right now. Because you know, there are so many keep stumbling. He's talking to somebody. We keep falling. We keep tripping on the same sin. And when you kind of confess it to someone, a good friend in the church or the pastors or a deacon or whoever, as long as they're in the church, not of the world, because the world don't understand you. You may think they do, but they don't. And what is the words that after we confess, or some of you that are here now, you keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again, and you're trying to wonder, why can't I stop? And then you go get that counsel, and what do we tell you? You just need to try harder. I want you to get those two words, try harder, out of your system. Get it out of your vocabulary, because that's not what the Word of God tells us. It's a cliche that we, the human beings, have gone to the place in the church. Well, you just got to try harder. Try harder at what? That's not an answer. What do I try harder doing? Not to do it? I've tried that, but it's not working. How many agree? See, you got to agree with you that we're not yet there. We're not in the heavens where it's finished. But we're here where it has been said, it is finished. Are you here? You know, have you ever, yes, we have. Have you struggled to love somebody unloving? Or how about loving somebody that's such just a, and I wish we could use bad language or bad words, but we can't, because he should have tamed our tongue. How many know what that means? No foul word should ever come out of your mouth. But the reason they come out and you have not learned, because the taming of the tongue is from God. Come on. You know, I don't care how you want to say it. It still has the same meaning. Sugar, honey, iced tea. I got that from Madagascar watching it with the kids. And if you take the first letter of each word, it spells dung. How many know what the word dung means? Oh, dung it. How many know what I just said? Some of you like to use that word. Some of you like to use the word, oh, poop so much. Well, maybe you need to poop. I don't know. There's a reason why we keep saying that, because we're not there yet. We have not gotten there. But God has us to become. Say amen to that. You know, we keep stumbling. We keep doing. We keep struggling to love the unloving, the obnoxious. Come on, how many have met obnoxious people? Boy, I've met a lot of them. They think they're there on their own. None of us are ever there on our own. There's a creator that created, has allowed, and that we can be taught. But to love the unloving, they're so obnoxious people. And I've had to, and what will we tell them? Try harder to love. How do I do that? How could that be? That's not an answer. Well, the answer has already been given, because he gave us a promise, and that promise is a rest. And your rest isn't what you think you should have. It's the one that needs to be given. And Matthew's is going to tell us a secret, because Luke, whoever wrote that, in the word of Hebrews, that a promise was given to us. Jesus paid the price. God is the Sabbath, they say. He's the Sabbath. So on the seventh day, which is our day today, it's the Christian today, right? Yes. Friday through Saturday is our Jewish brethren. Amen. But for Gentile, it's Sunday. We're not supposed to do anything. We're supposed to rest after church. Come on. Come on. We can't be doing nothing. Well, if we're not doing nothing, then that's why YouTube's alive. Well, I can't move. I can't leave. Yeah. Trust me, there's accusations out there. But when you learn the Gospels, like here on the 11th chapter, first of all, understand this verse right here. Understand what I just said about try harder. Try harder at what? I don't need you to try harder. I just need you to do. Because you have authority. The Bible says, I've given you power over all the powers, including over yourself. How many know you have power over yourself? You know, we have the Church of Scientology, mind over matter. Where do you think that comes from? They twist the Word of God like everything else gets twisted in the Word. Mind out of matter. Yeah, it's my mind, you don't matter. That's how I think of it. It's my mind, you don't matter to me. Hello, somebody. I've learned how to take their words, twist it right back on them. Come on. And so getting to a place that this, what is this? What is this? Try harder. What is that? A vocabulary that's not from the Bible. It's an American words that we put in somewhere to replace words from the Bible. Because a promise was given. I am to enter my rest. And my rest doesn't mean I'm not going to face days I wish I didn't wake up. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be tested. It doesn't mean that things are not going to go the way I would like them to go. It means that no matter where I am at, no matter where I'm going, no matter what I'm doing, I'm still going to be in my rest, in my peace with God and God with me. Say with me. Some of us don't understand it. He is with us, right? So when you're doing what you shouldn't be doing, once you get to that place, he's doing it with you. He's just not doing it. He's just watching you do it. Come on. He's watching. And some of us haven't got to that place that he already heard you. He heard your language. He heard your thoughts because he knows your thoughts. Satan doesn't know your thoughts, so don't give him no credit. Come on, he doesn't have that kind of power. Only one does. But look what he's... First of all, understand this verse 28 right here of the 11th chapter of the book of Gospel of Matthew. He says, come on to me. All of you know this. Come on to me. All you that what? What does that labor word means? Labor in our words, all you that go to work? No, that's not what he's talking about. All you that just are in a place where you can't be who you're supposed to be. Are you listening? And are heavy laden. And I, the Lord says, I, no one else, will give you rest. Take on, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find, you shall find rest. Some of us right now don't understand. You shall fret unto what? Your souls are so burdened down that you don't realize. Rest means on verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of you don't understand it because some of us haven't learned about receiving restfulness of God, the rest of God, because somewhere we believe, because we are part of humanity and human beings. Come on. Hello? Hello? God has called us to be restful human beings. Do you know that? Restful. Some of you are so restless. Hello? You're about to explode. Your anger. Your careers. Your households. Your wants. Your desires. We know that if we give them to God, he's going to give us our hearts. If we trust the Lord, he's going to give us a proverb. You know, we're going to give it to him. He's going to give me my desires. You got to know the desires got to fulfill his will. His word. Are you listening to this? Watch this. What's the problem we have right now? We are in a place that we're not human beings being restful in our restfulness. We're human beings because we don't understand. We weren't called. Hello, are you listening? We weren't called to be busy human beings. We have misinterpreted the words of the Almighty God. We understand that faith without works is dead. Jesus says, I'll show you my faith by what I do. And what was he doing? He wasn't concerned about anything except people. He's concerned about us this morning. His love is so great. That cross that has been given. Come on. Chapter 12. Let's go to chapter 12. Same book. Chapter 12, real quick, like. This is what happened. You know, because this is what religion robs us from. Are you listening, church? Because we're here because the human being was not called to be busy, but resting. What work did Adam have to do? Go to the beginning. How many know the work that Adam did? What was he really doing? His hardest day was figuring out, what do I name that plant? I already named that plant over there. I already named that plant back there. His hardest, and who was walking with him? In the cool of the day. Who's there? No, there was no Eve. It was just Adam at first. And then he noticed that God noticed something that what he needed, and that God provided. And into that provision, failure came. Failure to who? Him. Humanity. Come on. And now we have to work so hard, right? Ah. But he never forgot how it was supposed to be in the beginning. And so what did he do? He sent a second Adam. And where did that second Adam end? He ended on the cross. And you know the words, it is finished. You know it so well. But what was finished? Not the will of God. The will of man. Your will. Jesus said it. The key words, not my will, but your will. Victory came by giving our will up to God. That we can understand this. And watch this. Verse number 1, chapter 12. Again, some more reading. And at that time, on verse number 1 of chapter 12, Jesus went in on the Sabbath day. There comes that Saturday. Because that's what they were fighting here. Through the corn, and his disciples were hungered. And they began to pluck the ears of the corn. And some of you know this story. And eat. But when the religious Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do that. What were they doing? They were plucking corn because they're hungry. Come on. But he said unto them, now I love Jesus because some of you don't like how he responds. But I love his response. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him? Verse 4, and how he entered into the house of God, went into God's house, and did eat the shoe bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. But going on, 5, or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath day the priests in the temples profaned the Sabbath, and how, and are blameless? See, did you catch that? He's telling me, you don't see what they do you? They're doing what they're not supposed to be doing. What is that? Oh, only God knows. He knows you. Come on. He knows. And he lets you come into his house the same way. Week in, wake out. Week out. Come on. Because he's not through with us. Say amen. He's not through with me. He's not through with you. He's not through with them. But what he is, he's the promising God. His promises are yes and amen. Come on, I want every promise of God. Number one, I want my rest because my brain needs it. It gets weary and it's not supposed to. But I do what he tells me. You that are weary, I come to him. I put it at the cross constantly. Here it is, God. I can't do nothing, but you can do all things. Say amen, somebody. Because that's what he does. He does it well. And then he goes on to say, on verse number 6, but I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. He's talking about himself. How many know how Jesus is greater than the temple? How many know that he is the law? He became flesh. Come on. And verse 7. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned Look what he says, the guiltless. Some of us are so continuously condemned within ourselves, within our mindsets, because of the things we can't overcome, because we're continuously trying not to, but we continually do because we have been told, just try harder. No, don't try harder. Do what God said. Come into his rest. Do what he's asked us to do. Bring it to my cross. Bring it to my feet. Bring it to me. Because I will then give you rest. I will give you what is necessary. I will do what is right for you. I will take away what you can't let go of. But because he's a sovereign God, because he's a great God, he's a good God, he's not a dictator, he won't take nothing that you won't let go of. If you love it, he's not taking it away. So you're constantly, for you that can't let it go, it's because you haven't got to the place that you don't love it no more. Come on. But he says it. If you had known this, you would have not condemned the guiltless. God's not holding you guilty right now. You have a chance to escape right now. Come on. There are many that don't. Hello, somebody. And God will rescue at the last minute. Amen, somebody. Because what he said on verse number 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So when is rest today? Every day is Sabbath day. Every day I should be in my rest. Every day somewhere in life, trouble is going to come in someone's life. And have you ever been around those that try to take your joy away? When the Bible says nobody gave it to you, nobody should be able to take it away, and paraphrasing his word, come on. I want to walk in his peace. I want to walk in his rest. I want to be in his joy because it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Faith, love, right? Love, faith, joy, whatever, how you want to call it. But I know peace and joy come together. And you cannot have peace if you're not in your rest. And if you haven't learned to come to that cross, and you haven't come to lay it at the cross, many of you did this in January 1st service, right? 31st. And that was full. I took them down. And you know what? I have them still. I'm not reading them, though. And I have a right to read them. Right? Because it's your secrets, not mine. But I have them put away. And I keep asking the Lord, is it done? Is it done? Is it done? I don't need to know what it is. Because if I do, I got flesh that might want to judge you wrong. Come on. We got people coming in all day long. What? Who made you a preacher? Who made you the overseer? Who says you have a right to say that? Why do I need to listen? Hello? I've been told that. What right do I have? When a young lady in the military came because she wants to get married to this young man that she met, and the reason she's there because she's going to military, the Air Force, that she can have a career but end up falling in love. Lust. Lust, not love. Because if you have true love, they'll wait till your service is done. Never say yes without a ring. Say amen. Oh, help me here, Jesus. Come on. The Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. He is our rest today. And our minds need to be resting now. Come on. Our minds need to be at ease. If your mind is at ease, everything follows. You know, you're not so concerned about, you are concerned, but you're not so troubled. I see the church so troubled. This is why I tell you, watch for the news. Don't watch the news because it brings you nothing but trouble. Because at that point, when you're in, when you see trouble, you can't see God. Going back to the prophet, Elisha had to tell God to open his servant Gehazi. Open his eyes so he could see. Yeah, I'm surrounded by the armies of my enemies, but open their eyes to show them what's behind them. And that is the army of Almighty God that's for us. Because if he's for us, who can be against us? Some of us don't understand the way I fight, because I fight. Every day I fight. Come on. First I fight me. Hello. And then I got to fight what I should not be fighting. And then I fight what's right to fight for. every morning, amen, because I'm human. And I know that I could stumble and give in at any moment. It'd be my choice. Hello. But I want to be in my peace now. Not because of my age. Not because of where I come from. Because God said it's a promise. And I want every promise of yes and amen to be a part of my life. So if when I'm out in that world, if I'm walking those streets or driving those streets, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Because I know that God is with me. I'm in His peace. Nobody has a right to me unless God says so. And if God says so, like He did for His Son, there's a reason behind it. And that means it's victory still. Because you are victorious. The moment you lay His feet on the cross, you're picking it up again, you're in His victory. Because He's not there. That's what He's telling you. So when you go out these doors today, He's with you. He knows your thoughts. He's not rejecting you. You mess up, what does He say? Get up. Get up. Don't worry about the human beings. Don't worry, especially family. Family will judge you the most. Come on. Get up. And if you don't, He's going to wait and follow you. Tell you again, get up. Again, you don't, He's going to say, I'm here. I want you to be at your rest. Don't wait till you end up incarcerated, end up in the hospital. Because if you're in the coffin, I can't tell you anymore. It's done. It's over. The coffin means it's over. Come on. No coffin yet? It's not over. He's telling you, I've come to give you rest. Rest in me. Come on, say amen. Amen. Stand to your feet.